the Olympic Games on Off the Ball.
I was confident she was going to get a medal. She's a McSherry. Mona McSherry.
I'm writing myself into the history books.
All the medal-winning reaction on Off the Ball. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now the All-Ireland action continues this weekend with the Camogie Finals. We have Galway versus Cork at 5:15. That's not the only game, so we have this weekend. You also have the Tipperary facing Laois in the Premier Junior Final starting at 1:05 p.m. And then we also have Cork in the Intermediate Final versus Kilkenny at 3 p.m. So there's plenty of action still to look forward to, just in case anyone thought that the All-Ireland fun had ended. Joining me to look ahead to the weekend, we have former Dublin Camogie manager Adrian O'Sullivan and Waterford's Niamh Rockett. Guys, thank you very much for joining me. Adrian, excitement levels for this weekend?
Yeah, very much looking forward to it now. I think everybody has their kind of list of teams that that they really like to watch, or list of individuals that they really like to watch, you know, that you make sure you tune in for and look for. The last 12 months, probably the Cork Camogie team have been on that list for me. You know, anytime they're playing a try and sit down and watch them, I think they're a team that are really operating at the very peak of their power. So, without ruining the whole segment here and jumping to that conclusion, looking forward to seeing them in action again on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, Niamh, that's a good point about Cork, because their run in this year's league and championship has been something to behold. You know, the last time they were defeated was in the league versus Galway, but then they put up a massive score against them in Páirc Uí-Chaoimh, 216-107. Now, there's an asterisk there that Galway had already qualified and potentially were looking to get to the next stage without injuries rather than maybe necessarily putting in a massive performance. But Cork have only lost one game in single figures this season. Every other game they've racked up double digits against them. It's a tough challenge for Galway at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. It makes me, suppose Waterford, feel a little bit less bad about ourselves when after seeing their performance this year after All-Ireland last year. So they're just operating at a serious level. They can mix it up. They can mix up their pace in the running games, their striking games. Every line of their, like you see even the likes of injuries, Libby Coppinger, Maeve Catalan are out. You see their subs, but George McCartan isn't getting the game time at the start already to come on as well. And they're just awesome, really, to be honest with you. Like, you know, very hard to stop them unless they have a really, really off day. And then if they do even have an off day, they have other players that will step up. If there's one or two players having an off day, they'll have other players that will step up to the mark. But no better team than Galway, I suppose, to put it up to them. Galway have had a number on them the last couple of years as well, you know. I suppose there'll be a team that Cork might clear a little bit. And they've haven't really had a test, I suppose, this year, but they can only beat what's in front of them. But I suppose Galway are relishing the fact that they're underdogs, as opposed to in the last couple of years, they might have been coming in as favourites into the All-Ireland Finals.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring up the Waterford defeat only 2 minutes into the slot. I was going to give you a little bit of time to settle into it, but since you did bring it up yourself, in terms of that final last year, is this what you first saw for Cork going into the new season? You know, did that feel like that was a turning point for them and they were going to kick on and become one of the dominant squads? Because I know there was a little bit of changing them in terms of the manager and the backroom staff, but did you feel like that was a one-off performance for them, or no, this is potentially the start of a dynasty team?
Well, playing the game that day anyway, they were just operating at a serious level. Like, you know, every single ball right up to the end of it, they never really let up. Like, you know, Hannah Looney was fist pumping, winning a free on the 62nd minute, and they're beating us by 19 points at that stage. You know, they're just a different animal. And I suppose after beating Galway and Kilkenny that year as well, you know, they were really just, I suppose, a really maiden undefeated champions that year as well. But they're just a conveyor belt, really. Like, you see that they're in the intermediate final as well, and their style of play just never really changes. Their personnel come in and interchange it in, but their style of play, no matter what management are involved or what players come in and out, the style of play is just really, really hard to, as Adrian probably would know, like managing Dublin, like, you know, to try counteract their game, it's just very, very hard. Like, and the All-Ireland final, I suppose, was their peak performance. It was one of our worst days, I suppose, playing. Like, that's why we were, I suppose, bitterly disappointed getting knocked out in the quarterfinal this year, because we didn't really want to seem like a one-trick pony just getting to the All-Ireland final last year. But that's the way the games went, I suppose, and that's the run of it that I came. But we really wanted to prove ourselves a bit better than that this year, but they're just a very, very hard team to beat. And any team that you're kind of coming up against, they're going to have their good players, they're going to have their forwards, like look at Galway, Kilkenny, Cork are just up there And I suppose it's just very, very hard to stop their conveyor belt once they get going from their half back line all the way up. Like, they're just very, very hard to stop.
Adrian, was mentioned there about the fact that Cork have that depth in the team that maybe a lot of other squads don't. And Aisling Thompson was talking about it during the week, and she was saying that Cork, in terms of the manager and the backroom team, they've instilled a confidence but also a fear too, in that nobody is safe. And she used those words, nobody is safe. Yeah. Can you see that when you're watching the team?
Yeah, I think so. Look, Niamh hit the nail on the head there. It's all Hannah Looney fist bumping in the 62nd minute. I think, like, they're very process driven, Cork. Like, every team has their process, but I think more than other teams, whether they're winning or losing, they stick to the script, you know. I think, like, there's a couple of things you talk about, strength and depth. Like, I was just looking at the semi-final last year, because it was quite a tight game, you know, like, Cork won by 3 points for a finish. And if you're looking for consistency, and, you know, consistency of management and process and all that, and, like, if you look at the Cork team that day, Laura Hayes and Aisling Thompson were carrying injuries, so they both came on as subs. And Orla Cahalan was obviously quite new on the scene, came on as a sub as well. So, like, the three of them were at the full of their health this year. So they've added to the Cork team. Whereas if you look at the Galway team that day, Siobhan McGrath, who got the two goals, is gone. Shauna Healy, who probably would have been earmarked to mark Amy O'Connor, is gone. Emma Helbert, Siobhan Gardner, gone out of the half-back line. Sarah Spellman gone out of the forwards. Now, they've added Niamh Mallon and Niamh Kilkenny, but the sum of that is still a negative. Like, Joe, you know, they've lost five and gained two, whereas Cork have strengthened and have pushed on. And they're just another year into the process. They change management, yes, but they're a bit like Liverpool team in the 70s, you know, like, they promote from within, you know. So Ger Manley was already there, Liam Cronin is still there as the coach. Before that, Matthew Toomey had been with Paddy and he took over. So, like, they've been almost playing the same year, same way for 8-9 years, but just perfecting it, getting better. I think the skill level of the team, the athleticism of the team has consistently increased as well. So yeah, from a depth point of view, process point of view, everything, like, they've just, their trajectory has been upward for a number of years consistently now. Yeah,
Niamh, how important is that consistency as a player? As Adrian was saying there, you look at Galway and even beyond what they've lost since the last year, since I think 2022, they've lost 10 odd players, whereas Cork have been very, very consistent. They've managed to retain, I think, all of their squad from winning the All-Ireland last year. And then the management side of things, while it is different, it's similar, it's familiar to the team. For you as a player, how important is that consistency?
Yeah, it's definitely very, very important, I suppose, to get your style of play, management teams knowing how to get the best out of certain players and positions they play in. And I suppose playing with the girls that you're going to be playing with all the time, like, as Adrian said, like, Aisling Thompson has been a steady force there all year with Issa Healy. And then they know what way Laura Tracy plays. So if Laura Tracy needs to sit back in the pocket, for example, and cover that full back line, that Aisling will just slot in to cover off the centre forward there, which might be Niamh McPeak, might be Ailish O'Reilly, whoever it might be. And they'll just seamlessly float into that. Whereas you can't really teach that to someone within a year or a couple of months. You know, that comes from years of playing together, communication. And I suppose that's just where they're just a little bit on top. I know last year going into the All-Ireland final, we didn't really have much of a fear from them going into the final, because we had beaten them already in the Munster Championship this year and it was a tight game. But just seeing their performances this year and just seeing the scores they've racked up, like, I think their full forward line alone has just scored, I think it was 10-25 from play, like, you know. And if you're like the Galway full back line, you're looking at that and you're nearly kind of hoping that there'd be no space. I know we were a bit naive to that last year in the All-Ireland final, but you know, you're really trying to protect it and try, I suppose Galway are going to try to keep it as close as they can for as long as they can, not concede any goals, try to get Cork to shoot from the outside, and I suppose just making sure that they protect the house at all times, which I'm sure Colin Murray will have them well rehearsed to do.
You're saying there you're a bit naive last year, Niamh, but like, you have a choice to make against Cork, and you either take them on 3v3 at the back and back your three at the back, and obviously he lost Vicky then very early as well, or you play defenders back, but then you give them Laura Tracy as the free player. And sure, she's going to launch attack after attack. And like, this, no disrespect to other teams, against a lot of teams, you could probably take that gamble. But like, Cork can shoot from distance. You saw in the semi-final there, Dublin had them in a bit of bother early doors and they sat bodies back. But once Cork hit their stride, then like Fiona Keating, Laura Hayes, Saoirse McCarthy, they were just bombing down the middle and shooting from 50, 60 yards. So like, what do you do? It's like the 2021 hurling final when Cork went 15-15 against Limerick and Galahan Flanagan had a field day inside. It's like, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So Like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Galway go about it. Because you can't focus too much on the opposition either, because you have to go out and deliver a performance yourself. But that's probably one of the most intriguing things to see. And you can be sure Cahill has been preparing for this for a year as well. Like, I know it's only 2 weeks since they won the semi-final. Cork and Galway know at the start of the year that to decide the O'Duffy Cup, they're going to play each other at some stage. So both sides have been preparing for each other. So I think the tactical battle and the Galway setup is going to be one of the most interesting things, and how they go about counteracting that Cork threat, I think.
Well, from the outside, how do you think they are going to approach it? Will they take learnings from watching how Waterford set up, or will you think more of the learnings will come from this season and the few times that they've played them?
Yeah, look, the Galway have a weapon there in Ciara Hickey, and like, she's quite a young player, but she would have been a sweeper for them in the intermediate and would know that role very well and played it at different times last year maybe as well. So I think they'll be inclined to, like, the last thing you want is if you start off 15-15 and you ship early scores, it's very hard to reverse back out of that and change. So I'd say they will start defensively, possibly with Ciara Hickey inside. But if they do that, they just can't afford to leave Laura Tracy on her own. They'll have to bring someone out to man mark Laura Tracy. And does that mean then that you have one of Niamh Mallin or Ailish O'Reilly inside on her own with two defenders on her? So are they going to be heavily reliant then on the likes of Kerry Dolan further out the field, Niamh Hanafy, Niamh Kilkenny to break those lines in the middle and shoot from distance? I think that's how they'll go about it. Like, if they go 15-15, you're probably looking at Dervla Higgins picking up Cahalan, probably Rachel Hanafy picking up Amy O'Connor, Roisin Black picking up Katrina Mackey. And like, all of those, they're three serious defenders, but it's a long day in Croke Park if you're left out on your own marking the three of those, you know. So I think they will probably start with Ciara Hickey as the sweeper, but if they do that, they just can't afford to leave Laura Tracy on her own at the back.
Niamh, the tone of this conversation and a lot of the conversations that I've read or listened to over the last couple of days have very much been, this is Cork's to lose, but you have to give Galway a chance in the fact that they've got to this final. They've had a tough route there. You know, they've had a lot of hard games and they've been hard fought. Is there a world where that level of competition that they have faced has left them at a higher performance place because they've had to overcome the challenges? Whereas for Cork, I won't say it's a breeze because it's never a breeze getting to an All-Ireland final. It's an incredible achievement, but it's definitely been a very different route.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the quarterfinal and semi-final stood to Cork last year, you know, when they had to beat Kilkenny and they had to beat Galway last year, and the top performance grinding them out just gave them more confidence going into it. You see even the likes of Tipperary this year, I know Galway are playing them, but Galway had the advantage of playing the quarterfinal against us, getting a win against us, and then bringing that into the semi-final as well. I know it took us a couple of minutes last year as well, like, to get into the run of the game when we played Tipperary in the semi-final. So I do think that Galway will come into it like having earned their place in it really, really well, to be fair to them. Like, you know, they had to go out and beat the teams. They had to go out and go up against the stronger teams. And I have no doubt that Colin Murray will be, as Adrian said, that he'll be preparing for this for a long time. But, like, I think the only way that the way tactically it can go one way or another, as Adrian Lewis as well, can Galway come up with it, it's really, can they get into Cork's faces? Can they disrupt their play? Can they kind of do the kind of off the ball stuff, try get out with it, you know, try to annoy Cork, I suppose. That's what, if they can start annoying Cork and disrupting their play, then they're in with a chance at it. You know, if they can kind of, as you said, like Rachel Hanafy and Amy O'Connor, you know, just get at her in her ear, you know, this is the kind of thing, I suppose, that maybe Cahill will be trying to kind of do. Because if you're going to try to go out and beat Cork at a running game or a striking game, they're not going to be able to. They're super at running with the ball, they're striking, their half back line are scoring, their midfield line are scoring, and they can deliver a serious diagonal ball which will cut out Ciara Hickey if needs be in the big wide Croke Park if they're playing sweeper. But I do think Galway, they're dogged. We played them in the league already this year, we played them in championship. They're dogged and they'll get in your face. They'll really want to get down dirty. They'll want to bring it into ruck ball. They won't have any big mass expansion. They're very, very strong and they're physical. So if they can do that, they're definitely within a chance to, I suppose, put it up to Cork in that sense. But it'll depend what Galway team will come out, and if they have that intensity, there's no doubt that they could, you know, squeezing them past. It's definitely not going to be just a Cork playing sailing game, because this will be the toughest game they've had, I suppose, up to now.
It's interesting what Niamh is saying there about getting in their faces and disrupting them. It sounds very similar to what teams were trying to do against Limerick over the last couple of years to actually get past them. And we saw that happen this year. Is there a bit of an air of that sort of dominance of this Cork team? You know, or if they do win this year? Is that a sign that they might go on and do a couple in a row? Because this is their fourth final that they've been in. Obviously lost the first two, fourth in a row.
Yeah.
Lost the first two and then won last year and then whatever happens this weekend.
Yeah, potentially there is. I don't think they have that air of invincibility just yet. I don't know if they earned that tag yet. Like they're playing very well. I think their average winning margin in the championship this year is 18 points. They have the most potent attack and the meanest defence. So it's hard to find a weakness in them. For me, like there's so many, I suppose, hallmarks of this Cork team that just remind me of Limerick when they were kind of coming on the scene 2020, 2021, in that they're maturing, they have a consistency of game plan, they're set up in a way that's very hard to counteract. And I think the more they win, the more confident they'll get. And I suppose if you look, and like I said there, Galway in transition, like we have to remember as well, Galway have serious experienced players in Aoife Donoghue, Niamh Kilkenny, Niamh Hanafy, players who've really stood up and delivered for Galway on the biggest day in Croke Park when it matters. And that can't be forgotten either. But also they have a number of players playing their first ever All-Ireland. Like if you look at Niamh McPeak, Alwyn Rabbit, Ciara Hickey, Ali Heslin come on as a sub. So they're kind of have a mixture, Galway, of being in transition and having lost so many players, but also still having that experience. But if you look, say, Kilkenny very much in transition, I think this year Kilkenny lined out without five of their starting six forwards that won in 2021. Galway have lost so many players. Like they're always the big three with Cork. You could say that if Cork win on Sunday, they could be set up to go 3, 4, 5 possibly because of the nature of transition that the other counties are going through, combined with the fact that they're hitting their peak at around the same time. So I suppose giving you the long answer there, but potentially, yeah, it's hard to see who's going to come out of the pack and stop them if they keep performing the way they're performing, yeah.
Mm. Niamh, I know you'll be hoping that Waterford are the team that are coming out of the...
You don't have to comment on that, Niamh, it's good.
I'll just replay that at the first day of...
first day of training.
Yeah, you are not play that in the dressing room there before we go out there. This
year. You just get a massive mural in the Waterford or dressing room.
I think if you're using me as motivation, no, Niamh, that you're serious battered in, I'd say you left to find some other motivation, I'd say.
But Niamh, just to that point, do you think that this is a Cork team that could be a generational talent of a team, having played against them?
Yeah, look, I suppose like you don't want to be picking up any other team because you're playing against them all the time, but you have to give credit where credit's due to Cork, like, you know, and their consistency. Like, I think they've conceded 1.5 an average of per game, and they've scored 3.18 of an average per game, like, you know, and they can only play what's in front of them. I know they might say they haven't played certain round teams, and Kilkenny are in transition and they play Dublin and whatnot, but they can only play what's in front of them. I suppose every team are going to go try, and every team know what way they set up, every team know what their strong players are, but it's trying to counteract that, as we alluded to with like the Limerick. Like, you know, how many years it takes teams to break down Limerick, and we're looking at Cork now and we know what way to play, we know what way to set up, but it's trying to get that and trying to, I suppose, nullify that and concentrate on your own game is what the hard part to do, you know. And I do think that they're an excellent team. You see, Izzy O'Regan just seems to be floating into full back there again, said Lippy Gobbinger. Maeve Catalan injured, who would have been the man marker there for the last couple of years. Hannah Leone going back to wing back. Orla Catalan scoring 2-2 in the semi finals, you know. Dorothy McCartan playing, she could play anywhere from wing back to midfield to wing forward. And they're just, I think the fact that they play together so much and they're so well drilled together that they know what the other's weak points, they know whether to cover someone off. And it's not like the 15 players are invincible. It's the fact that those players as a group, they know what to do. They know what way to run. They know if they're going short, that Amy Lee's going for a pocket. They know whether to lump to one side, who's going to go up for it, who's going to stay down. If they're going short and Maeve Murphy or Laura Tracy, they know exactly what kind of diagonal runs to make. And it just makes them very, very hard to nullify, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Maeve Catalan there. The Catalan family's dominance on this team is quite exceptional. You have Orla in there. Maeve is due to be back, I think, for the final, was the last that was coming out of the camp during the week. And then obviously the other sister, Grania, she won't be participating. She ruptured her Achilles, but a family affair for them this weekend. Great to have, you know, an all-star defender coming back into your squad for a game like this.
Yeah, no, it's a big boost to Cork. The Catalans dominate Cork GAA, never mind Camogie.
true, to be fair.
Every time you see a Cork team going out, there seems to be a Catalan, and I don't know where they're pulling them out of. But look, you know, it's a big advantage to them. It's a big advantage to them. I think look, we've talked an awful lot about Cork here. Like, I suppose Galway have their threats as well. You know, there's no question they have. Like, Niamh Mallon has been a huge addition to them. Absolutely massive. Like when they were struggling the last day against Tipperary, she really stepped up. Niamh Kilkenny is a massive addition back into the panel to them as well. Like, Carrie Dolan was excellent in the semi-finals, big puck-out threat. So, like, Galway will have their own threats as well. So, look, they'll be loving all this talk of, you know, Cork doing 4 and 5 in a row before they even have the second one won on Sunday, you know. So you can be sure Cahill, whatever about you using it as motivation, Eve, I know for a fact Cahill loves this kind of stuff. So they'll definitely be referencing this. Anything that's said about him now in the next couple of days will be used in the Galway dressing room. But like, it'd be unfair to go through the whole thing without mentioning the threats that Galway have as well. And they do have serious threats, you know. It's a matter of whether they can get the balance right of counteracting the Cork style of play and getting enough ball to their threats to do the damage at the other end. I think that's the balance they need to try and find, which can be quite difficult, but very much looking forward to see how they go about it.
So what
and
do you think?
Fair as well, like the likes of Dervla Higgins came up against us and scored an absolute massive point from our own 65 in cornerback. Rachel Hannafy got player of the match there for the cornerback last stage, you know. So like, they have the players there to man mark. Anya Keane obviously loves sitting back as well. If Keir Hickey's not going to sit back into that role. Amory Starr, Amy mentioned Niamh Kilkenny getting 2 points last day, popping up again. And they know how to finish a game. Like, I think that really stood to them last day against Tipperary when they was coming into the crunch time. Like, Aoife Donoghue, knowing when to run with the ball and when not to run with the ball. Against us, she was superb again. She was brilliant again. Like, she got man the match against us. And like Niamh Mallon, like, we lose in Tipperary knew about Niamh Mallon coming into the semi-final and they still really couldn't control it. Like, she scored 2 points before the half-time.
Yeah,
and then another goal after. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, she was brilliant as well. And, like, so these players we know about, but yes, we still can't imagine. Like, Elise Riley was starting in full forward with Niamh Mallon last day, and then you see her floating back around midfield line, no more ball to deliver in as well, you know, so Galway are going to really mix it up. Like, they're not going to be their conventional six forwards, two midfields, you know. They're really going to mix it up and give something for Cork to think about. Like, they're not going to leave Cork dominate whatever they want to do as well.
You could potentially see Orla McGrath coming in there as well, Niamh, from the start.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be bit surprised to see a dummy team from Galway, to be honest. And if they are thinking of, I suppose, sitting on Laura Tracy, having someone out there like Orla McGrath who could obviously do the job, you know, as a hard worker, but can also shoot from distance if she gets the ball in her hand from that distance. So don't be too surprised if there's a few lottery numbers in the Galway starting 15 on Sunday.
I would definitely think that as well. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you because I think we were waiting for their team to be named even before the quarterfinal, and usually they name it every Friday night, and there was no sign of it until we played them just before the match. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cahill has a few tricks up his sleeve. Definitely, anyway, before the quarterfinal, he was doing a few Houdini tricks.
He likes to stand on the halfway line and stare at the opposition warm-up as well, a bit like clap. So yeah, could see a bit of that as well.
I think you need a bit of that and a bit more of that and like Camogie and the LGFA as well, you know. It's those characters that get people interested in
Absolutely.
The sport, and as well as the actual action on the pitch, you know. It makes it all that more intriguing when you have a bit of the Houdini tricks, as Niamh calls it, going on, especially because a lot of that side of things has been cracked down on the men's side. So, Niamh, then for you, what's going to be the key area for Galway at the weekend that they need to control, and who's going to be at the centre of that?
I suppose if I'm looking at it, I'd be thinking like that stopping their Cork launch pad at their half back end. Like, Laura Hayes comes up with a few points every single game, you know. And as well as defending it as well. They look to them, Hannah Looney as well, to go short for puckouts. Laura Tracy just controls everything in the back line, from telling players where to go, where to stay, and just so spatially aware. So I think that's going to be a big area for Galway. I would have said before, controlling their full forward line, and I suppose looking at like Katrina and Amy O'Connor and Orla Catalan. But given the performance of Dervla Higgins and Roisin Black and I suppose Rachel Hannafy getting paired match last week, I'd have no fear that they'd be able to do the job once they can stop the conveyor belt of balls going in there constantly being under pressure. You know, I think that they will do their job, and I think that they will have the keep Cork as quiet as they could be, I suppose. But once they stopped that ball going in there and stopped the Cork running game from the very, very start, from the their half back, I think that's a big, massive area for Galway to really try and nullify.
Galway will take big confidence. Watching that game, the semi-final, the last day, Rachel Hanafy was deserved player of the match, but you could argue that Dervla Higgins would have been very close to getting it as well. And like Roisin Black is probably Galway's most consistent performer. She goes under the radar a little bit. So you're talking two players in serious form and your most consistent performer are in that back three. So they'd be very happy that if they do go straight push 15 on 15, that's the three that are doing it. I think an area where Galway might have struggled a little bit last year, and you'll notice from maybe defending against the Neve, is the Cork puck out is really, really strong. They set up that kind of a double cluster. They've screen runners, they're hitting the space. Amy Lee with a bit of the trickery as well, comes out with the two hurls. The old cool tech and the ash, and if she's going short, she hits it with the ash and goes long, hits it with the cool tech. I actually remember Liz blowing us in an Ashburn final for doing that, so I don't know whether they'll get away with it on Sunday. Roisin Breen, yeah, Roisin Breen was up to a bit of that skullduggery back in the day as well. But look, it'll be interesting. I think they really need to counteract the Cork puck out as well. I think Cork had blown Nolan Park last year and got a lot of primary possession around their own half forward line in space from just that puck out being really slick as well. So there's a couple of key matchups there. I've written down my notes here, the McCarthy Hayes axis down the left hand side. Like, they just link up so well together down that left hand side. So if you're a half forward, you need to be switched on all the time to counteract that running threat, because you switch off for a second, you're going to be conceding scores going the other way, and it's nothing worse for a forward's confidence than if your marker's outscoring you going the other direction, so there's a lot of key matchups there that are probably going to decide it. And then, if depending on how Galway set up, I think, will they have enough inside with whichever two out of three it is, whether it's Ayrshire Riley, Niamh Mallon, Orla McGrath, will they have enough as a two versus a three potentially to fire Galway over the line at the other end? That's probably the big question.
You saw even in the semi-final as well, when Dublin got the ball in, Emma Flanagan got one a free straight away on Pamela Mackey, won the penalty straight away, high ball came in, Cork was under pressure. When the ball is delivered in quick, I suppose that's the problem in Camogie at the moment, is that ball isn't being delivered in quick because the striker, maybe the distance isn't in on the striker. So it's very easy for the backs to read the game in that sense, So if Galway can get the ball in, mix up their running game, but also get the ball in quick, something that Cork aren't going to expect, they weren't going to expect that long ball in, to Emma Flanagan, which they won the penalty off. I know Ashton Marr didn't convert in the end, but it could have been a different story just to give them a little bit of a boost at the start. I do think that, as Adrian Lewis said, that it'll depend on who's in there and what they can get out of the ball that's going to go in there.
They've often used Kerry Dolan as a full forward as well. Back in 2019 when they won, Niamh Hanafy was a full forward. They're both very good in the air. So look, they could go down that route, Niamh, for sure. I suppose the one thing, Kerry Dolan was so important to win their primary possession off the puck out the last day of that. Are you robbing Peter to pay Paul a little bit by taking out of the half forward line to put her in? But you're probably onto something there, Niamh, right? I'd say they do have aerial threats, and if they are playing with a two versus a three, maybe route one is the way to go into the edge of the square. And as you said, the couple of balls within Emma Flanagan the last day of Cork, they'd look vulnerable under the high ball. And look, they really struggled with Denise Gall's aerial threat last year in the quarter final as well. So that could be a little chink in the armour that Galway might go after, yeah.
Good to know there is something there after the first half of
after this. 45 minutes.
After we said they're going to do five in a row, that they might be caught under the high ball.
We're talking ourselves out of it here, Niamh. We'd be poor gamblers. Exactly. Poor gamblers.
You kind of need to do that as well. I was listening to Sarah O'Donovan talking about it this morning on Off the Ball Breakfast, and she was kind of, yearning away Cork a little bit and saying, Galway are going to come up and they're going to, they're going to do it. And then she was like, but yeah, I think that maybe Cork's A versus B games in training have been more difficult than some of the games they faced this year. And you're like, you can only sit one way or the other on the fence there now, Sarah.
Yeah, she could potentially be right. Kilkenny were going very well back in the day in the hurling. They would have always said their A versus B games were important. Dublin, the same, the football. You'd hear all sorts of mythical stories about the A versus B games and stuff like that, And look, they do have good strength and depth. I suppose with the nature of the Camogie Championship with the 12 teams in it, I suppose there's always going to be a few mismatches during the year. So, and look, that's always been the way. So I think, both management teams will be well used to, I suppose, peaking at the right time and and maybe training through a few of the group games and stuff like that. So I don't think sharpness will be a thing. I think, you know, like, I suppose the winners always write the narrative, don't they? So whoever wins will have done the right thing, I suppose. But I think both teams
That's
will
a very
manage.
Hurl on the ditch comment there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Whoever wins, they have to do under 18. That's
but isn't it always the way? You could lose a game by a point there. Yeah.
That's a message to Conn Murray. I'm sorry for back in Cork there. It's going to be a text.
Yeah, it could be an incel here. It could be sent in to do the job for him. He'd have it all done. But yeah, look, Joe, elite sport sometimes comes down to fine margins. You know, you look at the 100-meter final in the Olympics. You know, what could the guy who came second have done much more there? But he's not the champion, you know. So it really is sometimes in the media, the narrative is the winning team has done everything right and the losing team need to tear up the script and go again, but that's not really the case. So look, it just could come down to real fine margins, you know. So it'd be very interesting.
Oh, there's so many things on the day that can affect it, you know. One of your star players just has to wake up feeling a little bit off, and all of a sudden it's a completely different game, or, you know,
yeah,
your mentality not being there as well. Like, obviously, Niamh, you've played in these big games, so you know yourself what it's like.
Yeah, look, I suppose, like, anything can go wrong. I suppose last year, as Adrian said, like, we lost Vicky Faulkner, who won an All-Star, even not having played the All-Ireland final last year. You know, best man marker we had in the team. And our battles in training would have been fairly tough for A versus B games, because myself and Vicky would have often tore strips off each other, leading to nearly stitches at one stage. But then when she went off in the first few minutes, then she was designated to mark Amy O'Connor last year. Amy O'Connor goes on, scores 3 goals, gets player of the match, you know, like, these things just happen, like, and it was only actually by chance, I actually said this the last time, she actually changed her studs before the All-Ireland, so that was a bit of a rookie mistake. Just before the All-Ireland, she put on, like, nearly rugby stud boots so got caught in the ground, so I think she threw out them boots anyway there. They were gone, long gone there this year, now only this year, but look, it could come down to any bit of fine margins, as we saw in the men's hurling as well, you know, like, going down to extra time, and little things gone a free either way, you know, like a tug of the jersey there, like, you know, Adam Horton tugging the jersey there of Robbie O'Flynn to just throw him off a little bit, like, you know, these are just fine margins, and Clare be praised as the best hurlers ever, but, like, you know, Cork are just, there's only a puck of ball between it, like, or a tug of jersey between it, like, so the fine margins and who's better prepared, and I suppose who can control the day a bit better then would definitely come down to it.
And with Liz Dimsey refereeing it as well, I think Gall will be happy with that. Like you said there earlier, Niamh, just that Galway have to get in Cork's faces and really bring an aggression and a physicality to it. And I thought Liz really let the game flow the last day in the semi-final, and she allowed a bit of that physicality in the Galway-Tipperary game, you know, almost to the point where it was nearly boiling over a little bit. So I suppose Liz is an experienced referee, so the occasion is unlikely to get her, but if she referees in that style again and allows that little bit of physicality, look, it could be something like that just tips the scale in Galway's favour if they are allowed to disrupt that Cork running game. Like we saw in the ladies' football final last year, that Dublin were kind of almost allowed consistently foul Kerry in the kind of the last four, or their own end of the pitch or whatever, and just stop that Kerry running game, and it got in Kerry's maybe heads a little bit, and it kind of disrupted the play. And it could be just something like that if that bit of physicality and that small bit of an extra edge is allowed in the game, that it could go in Galway's favour as well if they're trying to counteract that running game. So as Niamh said there's so many different things that can happen, you know, and I suppose you just have to hope that if a key player does get injured or something happens, that it doesn't derail the whole thing, that the teams are kind of have prepared for it and are ready to go, you know. But there's so many different things that can happen on the day.
I have to say, I'm intrigued now about how these teams are going to line up on Sunday after listening to the two of you guys and all of the possible permutations that it'll mean, and if we do get to see those Houdini tricks from Galway or not. One name that has come up a couple of times when we've been talking is Niamh Kilkenny, and we've kind of seen this year, you know, it's almost been the year of players who've come back after having a child. You had Julianne Russell coming back and into the Ireland squad after not playing since 2020, getting that goal against England, getting the goal against France as well down in Parquecuive. I was at that game and I don't think I've ever heard a cheer like that apart from when Katie McCabe scored in Australia. It was absolutely brilliant. But how important is having a leader like her coming back in? I think she came back in after like 5 months after having her baby, which is mental when you think about it. But someone who's had that experience, stepped away from the team for important family reasons, and coming back in ready to go again.
Look, there's no question. Niamh Kilkenny is one of the top three Camogie players of all time. Not just currently, like of all time. I think she's just... it's hard to describe the effect she has on that Galway team. So in 2019, she was unbelievable. 2021, she was absolutely top class. And it's everything you said there. Like she's almost the perfect midfielder. Like she's teak tough, will absolutely win the dirty ball and, you know, win those rucks and drive the team on. But she has that class going forward as well. She's able to pick off a score and bring other players into the game. And look, there's no question that we'd be having a very different conversation here if this was a Galway team lining up without Niamh Kilkenny. There's no question of that. It's, you couldn't state enough how class she is and how important she is to that Galway team for various different reasons. So I think even the last day again when they were struggling a little bit against Tipperary, just like she had the cuteness to, she knew the ball was going to stick on Mallon and kept just going off the shoulder, off the shoulder, off the shoulder, and putting Tipperary on the back foot and just really working hard to get Galway back into the game. But yeah, it's absolutely massive to, for Galway to have Niamh Kilkenny on the side. There's no question whatsoever.
She's just unbelievable. Like, I'd be echoing what Adrian said. Like, and Donal O'Rourke was air manager, and Adrian know him well. Two of them are good buddies as well. And he said that, like, he put him, Niamh Kilkenny, up with, like, Beth Carrington as being, like, the two best Camogie players he's ever coached. Like, and, like, she's constantly up and down the field. She gets on ball. She can win high ball. Her touch is unbelievable. And as we alluded to, like, you know, like, come back from an injury, or come back from having the baby, and then to go and do the performance and reach her peaks again, like, it's just unbelievable, like, you know. And obviously the dedication and the work it took for her to come back again, but like, she's just a serious player up and down the field, and like, constantly, I suppose, when chips are down, they're the likes of the younger players that we are saying that are coming in transition for Galway are going to be looking to the likes of her for the words of encouragement and the bit of encouragement. And even like the likes of her getting a score could be worth 3 scores to Galway, as opposed to just, you know, someone else coming on tipping over a point. Like, you know, she's really that driving force for Galway, and she's definitely one of the best Camogie players of all time, definitely. And I, from playing against her, and, you know, like the way she carried herself even on and off the pitch, she's just brilliant. I think she'll definitely put her up there as well.
There's a brilliant study to be done someday about coming back after having a baby. I remember around the last Olympics, I think it was, the New York Times did this really interesting piece about, so the Olympic trials for the marathon run, it opens itself up to everyone. So you can be an amateur runner, professional runner, whatever it is. And across those trials, it showed that actually the women that had come back and maybe had less time training because they'd had a baby were actually outperforming the athletes who had been constantly performing throughout that time. So, and I think we've seen it in an Irish context, whether it's at GA levels or in the soccer as well, that there's certainly a lot to be said for life after having a baby and returning to sport.
There's some stat in the paper today that the birth rate in Ireland is down 10% from last year to this year, so it could be the solution there for sporting sporting gain, get the birth rate up,
get the government on that.
We could be onto something here, solving all sorts of problems.
Sure, look, isn't that what we're here to do on a Thursday night? Solve the world's problems.
We're throwing off all the permutations now today. We're actually mixing it up here today.
I know.
Sweepers and babies are the solution. Eve. That's it. Sweepers and babies.
Yeah.
Hey, fine margins, as we have said before. Yeah. $1 million question. After all that, Adrian, who's going to win and what's the margin going to be?
Yeah. Look, as what margin is, you could guess at a margin. Like, I'd be very much a numbers guy, and it's hard to get away from the numbers. You threw out a few of them there, and you've averaged scores in games and stuff like that. The Cork is at 28 points a game they're averaging, and Galway are averaging 21 points a game. So you could say, look, it's not that big a margin to shut down. But in crucially, in Galway's three big games, which are, I suppose, against Cork in the group, and then in the quarterfinal, semi final, they hit 1-7, 1-12, and 1-12. So, like, they're kind of, they need to do two things. They have to drastically reduce what Cork are going to score, which is no mean feat. And then they have to find something a little bit extra in their own forward line. And look, again, you said it there a while ago, Niamh, is it 1-5 per game Cork are conceding? I think I have it down at 8 points per game here, so 1-5. So, like, all the numbers are pointing towards a Cork win. Like, in my head, all the numbers are. but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. You know, numbers can go out the window, but I think because Cork are so process driven, I think no matter what Galway will throw at them, they'll stick to the process. You know, and they have big players come off the bench like some McCartan and these. I just find it hard to see how it wouldn't be a Cork win. Margin, look, you could speculate on a margin, 4 or 5 points. But I think it'll be a Cork win, yeah.
But you don't think it'll be a hockey in like they got in Parky Cueve?
No, I don't think so. Like, I mean, Galway in a group game, as they've shown over the years, Galway in a group game and Galway in an All-Ireland final in Croke Park are two very different animals. And, you know, as I said there, like they have a core of players right through the middle of their team who have done it on the biggest day for Galway. They'll have no fear of that. And they'll be a very proud team. And even last year, you could argue that Cork were by far the better team in Nolan Park that day. And Galway still stuck to the task and nicked a goal here and nicked a goal there. And there were still only 3 points in it going down the track at the end of the day. So I don't think it's going to be a big margin, but I do think Cork will win.
Okay. And Niamh, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd be exactly the same about Adrian, saying like, I think that, as you said already, like Cork's scoring threat is massive, but if you're scoring loads and you're conceding loads, they just kind of nullify each other. So they're conceding very little, like 8 points a game and scoring 27. I know Galway are similar, but I suppose just if you're looking at Galway's score, say for example, like Niamh Mallon is a big scorer for them. Niamh McKenney is a scorer from midfield. Carrie Dolan from frees. And then you have the likes of Ailish Riley popping up for points here and there as well. But if you're looking at the other side then, I think like you're looking at Amy O'Connor, Saoirse McCarthy, Fiona Keaton, Cliona Healy, you know, then the two wing backs, Hannah Leone then as well popping up for, and she got 4 or 5 points, Laura Hayes, 5 points as well. Fiona Keaton, 1-7. You know, like there's just so many scoring threats around place so that if one of them is marked, it's very hard. Their backs are nearly outscoring what the forwards nearly be at some stages, you know. So I do think the margin would be very, very low. Connemara would love to hear that we're going to be tipping Cork, but Galway will definitely have something thrown out of the bag. I'm really interested to see what they're going to pull out of the bag on Sunday. I do think that they're going to come with some sort of something to shock Cork and to kind of throw them off their game. I don't think they're going to give it to them all their way. I do think they're going to try to get in their faces, and I do think it'll only be a 2 or 3 points margin really in it. I think they're really going to shut down Cork's goal threat. I think if they shut down Cork's goal threat, try to outshoot them from half forward line, half back line, you know, then they're in with a chance. So margin tipping Cork, but I do think that Galway are going to definitely come out with something, and then they'll relish the underdog tag. I think that's the best way to go into an All-Ireland final. I think everyone is hyping up Cork to be like, this is theirs to lose. They're going to win so many All-Irelands after this, and they've really progressed on since last year's All-Ireland. So I think coming in with that underdog tag will suit Galway massively as well.
Well, the two of you have certainly built that up. I'm very excited now to watch that at the weekend. That game is on at 5:15 in Croke Park. They're also going to beat the crowd that came to the football last weekend. I think it'll be the first time they've done it in a couple of decades. So if you are heading along, it sounds like it's going to be a brilliant event. You'll also have, obviously, Tipperary Laois in the early game. That's at 1:05. And then Cork are also in the intermediate final versus Kilkenny at 3 p.m. So there's a full day of action to enjoy. Adrian, thank you very much. Niamh, thank you very much. Hope you enjoy the sport at the weekend, and it's been lovely chatting to you both.
Thanks, Matt.